We're considering the Lord's Prayer, and we've been considering the Lord's Prayer over the last several weeks. And the Lord's Prayer has a petition that we call the fourth petition. A petition is a request, something that we ask. And the fourth petition is, "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, the Greek word that is there for bread is not a word that is found in other literature. It's a very difficult Greek word. And maybe humorously, it can be translated as, "What is it?" You know, because we don't know what the actual translation of the Greek word is. In the context, it's food. And in the way that it seems to be used, it's food to the lowest common denominator. It's bread. So it seems as though Jesus, in his wisdom, whether this was spoken originally in Greek or Aramaic, I don't know. But this word that's used for bread is sort of loosely the same translation as what manna is. Give us this, what is it? Our daily bread. And when we look at what manna is in Exodus, as we read this account of how manna came into being and came to be given to the people of Israel, we see that it's something that is given to them to sustain them. It's that basic minimum need that they have as a people. People need to eat. And in our culture, maybe because of the abundance of wealth, we don't really think too much from day to day where our meals are going to come from. You know, my wife plans a menu for the week. She goes to Sprouts. She comes back and we have what is needed for the week. And it's not always been that way in the history of mankind. That which the family was going to eat was often a question from day to day. Where will this come from? Where will the provisions for the day come from? And I don't know for sure, but I imagine in parts of the majority world, even within the Church of Jesus Christ, that question of where will daily provisions come from? And this petition, this "give us this day our daily bread" or "our daily what is it," is something that is part of the reality of the church, that we rely upon God for everything that we need, down to the most basic, minimal requirements of our own existence. I think that is important, that bread is the lowest or the most common or the most base of our needs. Because what that teaches us is, if God is willing to provide for the need that is the most base, that everything above that comes by way of blessing. That all of those other things that God gives to us are blessing. Our larger catechism asks, what do we pray for in the fourth petition? And I had it in the bulletin, and it was like size 4 or 6 font. So I thought, almost not even worth having it in there. It was so, so, so small. So follow along with me. What do we pray for in the fourth petition? Or you can pull it up in your iPads. In the fourth petition, which is, "Give us this day our daily bread," acknowledging that in Adam and by our own sin, we have forfeited our right to all the outward blessings of this life and deserve to be wholly deprived of them by God, and to have them cursed to us in the use of them, and that neither they of themselves are able to sustain us, nor we to merit by our own industry to procure them, but prone to desire, get, and use them unlawfully. We pray for ourselves and others that both they and we, waiting upon the providence of God from day to day in the use of lawful means, may of His free gift and as to His fatherly wisdom shall seem best, enjoy a competent portion of them and have the same continued and blessed unto us in our holy and comfortable use of them, and contentment in them, and be kept from all things that are contrary to our temporal support and comfort. Okay, so it's a big question and answer. Read it when you have time. It's question 193. But the way that it divides up, or the way that we can basically divide it up, is this first part of the answer says that because of Adam and because of our sin, we don't have rights before God for things that are blessings. We don't have rights. And the second part is that by God's providential care and His blessings, He gives us that which we need. So we don't have rights, and yet He gives us what we need. So it all must be seen within that context of blessing. And then the last part talks about how we would comfortably use the gifts that God gives us, and that we would have a right frame of mind as we use the blessings that He gives to us, that our use of temporal blessings would be holy and comfortable. Holy, H-O-L-Y. We would use them in a righteous way. So we begin with this first portion where we talk about how our rights are forfeited. It starts off with, in Adam we forfeited our rights to good things. And yet, God sees that His creation is, because of the rebellion of Adam, because we have forfeited these rights, that God is not required to give us anything. And yet He does. God does not owe humanity things like bread. He does not owe humanity things like fresh water and shelter. And we think about what the basic human needs are, and this probably changes. I mean, when I was in high school, we talked about basic human needs. We talked about food, clothing, and shelter. And I imagine that like iPod is included now. Is that right, Noah? I'm not sure if that's taught in schools. But the basics of what humanity needs, we forfeited the right to have those things. Yet God still provides for those things. So there's a tension there. You see, as we pray, give us this day our daily bread, what we're first doing is we're acknowledging that I don't deserve bread. I don't deserve good things. I don't deserve the needs that we have. And think about that. The most basic of things we do not deserve. I think that takes a lot for 21st century Americans to wrap our minds around. Have you ever watched one of those shows where they go in and they interview a family where maybe one of the kids has been sick, he has cancer or something, or there's been some trauma in the family, and what they do is they say, well, you know, we're going to help you by tearing down your house and building a $1 million mansion. And, you know, that's a show you can watch on TV. And so they tear people's houses down. And sometimes the houses are bad, like they're really bad. And they build these giant major structures. And what they do is they'll, at the end of the show, they'll interview people that are close to the family. And this is something, I've only watched it a few times with my wife, but we always listen for this phrase. Okay, here's the phrase. They deserved that. Did they? I mean, I'm sorry that there's suffering in your home. I really am. I'm sorry that things aren't as good as they could be. But deserve? You know, maybe it's being theologically trained that makes you hear things and interpret things in such a way. But people talk like that. People talk like that a lot in our culture. And we have a movement right now in our culture that says that we have a right to sue parents for a college education. You follow that in the news? Young girl that's suing her parents for the right for a college education because they said they wouldn't pay for it. She deserves that. That's the mentality that we live in. So it's difficult to get our mind around this fact that because of our fall in Adam and because of our sinful rebellion against God, as a society, as a people, that's all of us, we've forfeited the right to use the word deserve. We don't have that right to use the word deserve because of our rebellion against God. So what God owes us, so to speak, is judgment. One of my professors in seminary said that when he was a young boy and he would complain, his mother would say, "Joe, everything above hell is mercy. Give us this day our daily bread." We don't deserve bread, yet God invites us to ask for bread. And now, that doesn't leave us in a position where, you know, we go up and down the streets of Los Angeles and we tell people that are down and out and maybe asking for money. We say, "Well, you deserve everything that you've got. You deserve where you're at." Because God is gracious, isn't He? The fact that Jesus says, "Pray, give us this day our daily bread." He, as in God, invites us to ask of Him. And friends, we have bread. We have clothing. We have places to live. We have so much. We have cars. I would assume that most of us have 401ks. Talk about abundance of blessing. And God, by His fatherly care, gives us those things. I mean, think about even the lunch that we shared together today. What a feast. And God invites us to ask for those things. He invites us to come to Him and say, "Father, give us this bread. I acknowledge that I don't deserve this, but I would like this." And God provides for those blessings as well. Another part of our catechism talks about how we cannot merit by our own labors the procurement of things. That's kind of a big procurement, is how we get things. You know, I've procured something, I've gotten it. And we tend to think that way too, right? We talk about the American dream or the Protestant work ethic, and how when we work hard, we get things. And that's true to a certain extent, but our catechism invites us to put that in context. See, in the context is that God is a God who uses means, and within those means, He still is the one, through His providential dealings with us, the one that is the giver of those good gifts. If you go to school and you work hard and you get good grades and you grow up and you get a good job, that's wonderful. But as a Christian, we're still not invited to say, "Look what I've done. I've done it my way." Is that Frank Sinatra? What we are invited to do is to say, "Look what God has done. God has providentially been good to me. God has provided for these things. Because we don't take providence out of the picture when we're talking about the giving of good things. And see, this puts us in a right frame of mind. It puts us in the right frame of mind to think about what we have and what our neighbors have and how loosely or how tightly we should hold on to the things of this life. Because God is essentially the giver of all things. We're told then to wait on the providence of God. If we put our trust not in our own powers, but in the providence of God, who gives good gifts to His children, He will provide for that which we need. He will give us what we need in due time. He will provide for us as He sees fit. I think there's lots of great stories in church history about God's providential dealings in these ways, whether it's stories of orphanages that pray for milk and milk trucks break down in front of orphanages, or families that say, we will go on such and such trip if so much money is provided, and they fall short in their little jar and some providence happens where it was a good thing that they were not on that trip. There's all of these stories of God's providences in the way He has brought things to pass and providing for our needs. But that's not what we rely on as the ordinary means. Like, I'm not challenging all of you to quit your jobs tomorrow and to sit at your dining room table and say, God will bring food. Providentially, and strange providences do occur where God does provide like that in history. And I'm not asking you to even challenge those stories about when God provides that way. But our catechism goes on to talk about the use of lawful means. And the way that it sets it up is it says, we wait on the providence of God, and we use lawful means, and then God, of His free gift, gives. And I love that tension. Something I like pointing out is when we find tensions or apparent contradictions in our Christian faith, because they're kind of fun. And they're fun to just say, okay, we're going to live with this. It's just the way it is. And here's one here. We wait on the providence of God. We use the means that God has given us. And then when we get what it is that we're praying for, we bless God for His free grace. See, we do work. We do labor for bread. When we read Exodus 16, here's God in His providence miraculously providing this flaky manna stuff. And how was it brought into the homes? The people had to go out and get it. So they used a means to acquire that which God providentially gave. And yet it was still of His free grace. Because we know that even when it was brought into the home, it was still under the authority of God. It wasn't, I've done it my way. It was, this is still under God's providence. Because what happens if they keep too much? What happens if they keep it longer than they're supposed to? It stank. King James says, stinketh. And it became wormy. See, it's showing that God's providential hand is still over the giving of that bread. And that's true for us as much as it is true for the Israelites. God providentially puts things in our lives and in our path, and we use the means to get those things, and we thank God that He's provided for that which the means provided for, and essentially He provided for. That's why we pray before we eat bread that we paid for after working. Because it's a means. And we thank God for it. And we're told also that God provides these temporal blessings as His fatherly wisdom sees best. Not every good temporal blessing is right for everyone. Sort of an ongoing joke that Mike and I have is, I will never own a Porsche 911. Like, God knows that I shouldn't have one. Lots of speeding tickets. So in God's providence, in God's fatherly wisdom, He protects us against certain things. And there's certain things that we don't have in this life. And we may not know the reason why. But we know that Father knows best. We know that He knows our needs and He will distribute freely. Another example is when we were in seminary and we lived in Grand Rapids. Before we got married, the idea was that we would purchase rental properties and we would rent out properties, and that would provide for our seminary education. And we thought that would just sort of happen throughout our whole marriage. And it did happen, and it did provide for seminary education. And it was wonderful. It paid our mortgage, and it paid their own property value mortgages and all that stuff. And then now we don't own a home. We don't own any home. And at that time, God's wisdom said, this is what you will have. And now we don't own a home. We're Levites. And that is God's providential dealings with us right now. And we know that His wisdom allows for that. So our daily bread, when we ask for our daily bread, we are asking that God would provide for our temporal needs. And bread, again, is given because it is the most basic of human needs. People need to eat daily. And God invites us into that providence. He invites us to ask for that and to trust Him and to know that He will provide that which we need. Bread, the most basic of those needs. Or rice in China, like this morning's sermon. And we know that if He provides for the most basic things, that all good gifts on top of bread also must come from His fatherly hand. And it teaches us to trust. It teaches us to trust in His providential dealings. And it teaches us to trust in His wisdom. And it teaches us to trust that He will even provide so that we may use the means that He puts in front of us. And essentially, it teaches us contentment, doesn't it? Like I said, we need to learn to how loosely or how tightly we hold on to the things of this world. Those things that are blessings. See, if we are not content with what God has given to us, we'll never be content. Because all things come from His fatherly hand. The lack of contentment breeds temptation. It breeds covetousness. And it breeds envy. And our trusting in God for bread is a trust where we should not desire quail, but trust in the giving of bread if that's what He has given to us. We're not to despise what He has given to us as we eat our bread. The Lord knows our needs much better than you know your needs. He knows your heart better than you know your heart. He knows what to give you, what good things to give you. And He will provide for us as He sees fit, so that even something as simple as bread can be used unto the glory of His Son. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do pray that You will provide for our needs. You know all the needs that we have as a people. You know the needs we have as families. You know our needs as a congregation. Lord, provide for those needs. Let us trust in You, trust in Your providences, even as we use the means that You give us to use. Give us this day our daily bread. Amen.